From the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., this is Update One, the club's official podcast. It features newsworthy stories originating from the NPC facilities, as well as broader topics related to journalism, communications, press freedom, and transparency.
I'm Adam Cano, co-chair of the National Press Club's broadcast podcast team. June is Pride Month, and joining me to talk about advocacy and related communications is Justin Ellickson Andrews. He is executive director of the National Gay Pilots Association, which represents aviators and other like-minded professionals and enthusiasts from the LGBTQ plus community. Justin, welcome to Update One.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Let's start at the beginning. What is the origin story of NGPA? Who started it, when and where?
The National Gay Pilots Association, or the NGPA as we refer to it, was founded back in 1990, primarily at the time composed of largely airline pilots, and the mission was visibility. Today, we promote and support the worldwide LGBTQ plus aviation community. We do that in a lot of different ways. We are still very big in networking and connections. We have a large scholarship program that we offer every year. In fact, our scholarship program has awarded almost $2 million since we began that program. And then, of course, we have a huge mentorship arm as well. We have well over 500 paired mentees in our program. Association-wide, we have 5,000 active members across the U.S., as well as into Canada, Europe, Australia and Mexico. So quite a big footprint since being founded a little over 30 years ago.
Yeah. And what was the professional climate like then for your members working in aviation?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, our organization was founded out of fear of being outed. So at that time, you could be fired for being gay or simply being accused of being gay. So, the handful of pilots who were the first to start the organization agreed to meet almost in secret. They wore T-shirts depicting airplanes and agreed before meeting up that they would only share their first names, no other identifiable information, you know, no type of aircraft you flew, who you flew for, or even where you were based, because all of that could potentially be used to find your identity and then out you. So we've come quite a long ways. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was also alive and well. The AIDS and HIV epidemic. We've been through quite a bit.
Discrimination continues, even though, as you say, a lot has changed. What do you see as the current issues that your members face now, as opposed to the ones you were talking about that were most prevalent in the 1990s?
Well, fortunately, we've seen a lot of positive change in the workplace in terms of, you know, workplace protections, employee protections and whatnot. And we've been really fortunate to be partners with the employers of our members in helping to shape HR policy and procedures to protect not just the LGBTQ plus community, but other marginalized communities within our industry. So what we see our work today really looks more like partnering with DEI organizations or DEI departments rather within the companies that our members work and support, as well as growing our student footprint and getting more LGBTQ plus youth involved in STEM education and STEM careers, which aviation very much is a STEM industry, and there's, you know, many opportunities for our community within the aviation industry that extend beyond the flight deck.
Yeah, I want to talk about that sort of workforce element a little later on, because it is a major challenge for this industry. Your organization, I understand, also prioritizes medical and mental health support. What are some of the aviation-specific challenges faced by your member pilots and others in that regard?
I think something that makes generally the LGBTQ plus community more so unique in their mental health needs is that for many of us, the the decision to come out is a very lonely decision. You know, we risk losing our friends and our family for simply admitting and living, you know, authentically. And so when you combine the social pressures and the isolation of just being part of the LGBTQ community with the isolation that comes from a on-the-road lifestyle, working in, you know, a crew environment, it can be really tough on people. And, you know, we really see that through our engagement and through what people share with us on how NGPA has helped them both emotionally and professionally. So we take an investment into that. Our members are offered mental health counseling and coaching through our providers. That is at no cost to them. It's part of their membership benefit. Our mentorship program, again, is a really key component to connecting the community with, you know, with the support structure. And you know, we're excited to continue to find new ways to make sure that our community feels connected to, you know, the greater part of the industry, but also that they know they've got somebody to call when times get tough and there, you know, there may be nobody else around. So,
and presumably your corporate members, who I understand include, you know, major U.S. carrier airlines like United and Delta and American, you know, see a similar benefit from their perspective, from a talent retention aspect.
Yeah, definitely. NGPA hosts one of the industry's largest trade shows each year. And we bring in, this last year, we brought in over 2,000 individuals to the trade show. And so there definitely is a recruitment aspect into supporting the organization for sure. But, you know, we've really focused our efforts this year, and we'll, you know, continue to kind of reshift the narrative that beyond it being good business recruitment wise, you know, it's also good business because people are interested in going to places and doing business with places who are either like-minded or who appreciate and value diversity. So we've brought on board an entire aviation inclusion summit that is also hosted annually, where we talk about things like, how do you handle difficult conversations in the workplace? And what implications do uniform policies have on gender diverse crew members, you know, things that are important, you know, things that actually matter. You know, if we were talking about bills, you know, these would be the equivalent of the kitchen table bills that our members have to deal with on a daily basis. So we're really fortunate to be sponsored by most major airlines in the U.S. We also have sponsors across the industry, aircraft manufacturers, financing institutions, insurance institutions, and even a lot of private donors. But the conversations are moving outside of using us as a career fair and more using us as a resource when creating corporate policy.
You and I first met last month at EBACE, an annual European business aviation show held in Geneva. How long have you been attending that event, and what's been the reception for NGPA and its European colleagues in that, you know, corporate or business aviation community?
The NGPA has attended EBACE for several years, as well as the American version BACE, and you know, it's a great opportunity for us to connect with the business side of the industry. We've largely been focused on the airline and general aviation side, so this is a newer avenue for us that we're excited to see grow. We have two European affiliates, a UK version of the NGPA that it's called APUK, the Aviation Pride in UK, and then we have another group, EPAN, the European Pride and Aviation Network. And that combined support the LGBTQ community in the EU continent. And so this was a first year where the three organizations were under one umbrella, at least physically. We've always been under the same NGPA umbrella, but it was really great to support our European counterparts and honestly learn that there's still quite a bit of work to be done in Europe on behalf of the LGBTQ community that I didn't necessarily expect. Things that we in the US have been operating under for years, or maybe more further advanced than our friends across the pond. It was really surprising to learn of some of those things.
You mentioned the general aviation community. I know your event calendar also includes EAA Air Venture, commonly referred to in the aviation community as Oshkosh, because it's held in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And that event is more aimed at private pilots and aviation fans rather than industry professionals. Do you find that grassroots community more conservative and then, you know, perhaps harder to win over?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Oshkosh, I've been going to it for years as a civilian, as I'll call myself. And this past summer was my first opportunity to attend on behalf of the NGPA as executive director. And I'll be honest, I'm not much of a camper, and I don't very much enjoy the glamping either. So the idea of going to Oshkosh was, I went begrudgingly, I will admit to, and I had an absolute blast. I think it's one of the best events that NGPA puts on because it is so grassroots, it's so local, and it's really it really talks to the core of our community. I grew up in a small rural town in the South, and I'm used to the type of banter and the type of discrimination that you would assume to find, you know, in a small Southern town. But for the last decade or so, I've been living in, a much more progressive area. And so I kind of forgot and took for granted that the rest of the world, or the rest of the country at least, doesn't have the same privileges that I do in bigger cities. And so, it was the first time in, I would say, well over a decade that I faced blatant discrimination. And it certainly still stings, but for me, it was just eye-opening in the fact that, wow, this still exists. I almost felt bad for people because I know discrimination comes from, you know, lack of access. So, or I believe so, at least. And so I choose to look at it from that way. But it is a big opportunity for us to advocate for our community and to show up for others who aren't yet comfortable to come out of their own closets. There are just as many people who were blatantly discriminatory to us. There was at least double who would come up to us. It was kind of funny. They would do a drive-by or two, and you would see on the second or third time them come over and say, you know, I'm glad you're here, and then kind of scurry away. And that's what makes it all worth it, to know that we're there and we're showing up for people who are still living in fear.
You've talked a bit about inclusion and training, and I know that you have an inclusion training team of volunteers that helps organizations improve their diversity awareness. But, you know, we're also starting to see some pushback on these, you know, DEI and other types of initiatives. What do you perceive within the aviation industry and community?
I feel, and I know my colleagues and the other peer organizations would support me in this, diversity is a safety of flight issue, and a diverse flight deck is a safe flight deck, point blank, period. There is no discussion as to the importance of diversity in a high stress environment. It's unfortunate that the narrative has shifted away from more being a good thing, but we are a resilient bunch, and you know, we still remain steadfast that this is a safety of flight issue. And despite a small group although vocal, maybe trying to change the narrative into something that it isn't. This is about safety of flight, and with the entire traveling public should be able to agree that safety is a good thing, and we should be investing into tools, resources, and mechanisms that continue to make the U.S. Aviation industry and, our airspace the safest in the world.
Yeah, and so with policy issues and their related communications becoming so polarized politically, how does a relatively small organization like yours cut through the noise? I mean, are there advocacy communication strategies that you've adopted from perhaps other industries or things that you've learned along the way that others could benefit from?
That is a great question, you know, and we certainly do face our fair share of criticism. And how do we do it? You know, it's about remaining focused on the mission and remaining focused on opening doors for underrepresented individuals. We're really fortunate to have resources and support from our internal membership to continue to promote the mission of the organization. And we're also really fortunate to have an army of allies that stand behind us and understand the work that we're trying to do and the importance and how it can benefit. So, we definitely, we face a lot of challenges and a lot of headwinds, but we're not giving up. We're focused on expanding and continuing to make sure that those within the community know that aviation is open and, you know, an option for them, you know.
Yeah, and as I mentioned before, and as you talked about a little bit as well, I mean, talent attraction and retention is a massive challenge for aviation, has been for years. And the recent pandemic, you know, exacerbated shortages that already existed for pilots, mechanics, machinists, and others willing to enter the workforce, particularly in this industry. What is the prospect there for an industry that has historically struggled with diversity in all forms, you know, especially, for example, with universities and flight schools and the opportunity there to perhaps, you know, turn a new page?
I think the opportunities are endless, but it's about awareness and visibility and for people to see themselves in a future career or a future community. You know, growing up, there weren't a lot of people that thought like I did who I knew were pilots. You know, certainly as a white cisgendered male, there's a lot of people who look like me in the industry, but you know, the second the conversation you know starts, usually it's are you married, do you have kids, do you have a girlfriend, and so our focus has been showing others that there's people like them in the industry in different roles, and that they can be themselves and they can be authentic. You know, it's not just for white gay men, it is for the entire rainbow of our community. And the more members of our community that we can get into the industry, again, the safer the industry is going to become, the more open the industry will be to other individuals who aren't yet part of it. I just see the inclusivity as being really a no-brainer to sustainability as we, you know, look to redefine and strengthen our aviation community.
Justin, thanks so much for your time.
I appreciate it, Adam. Thank you.
Justin Ellickson Andrews is Executive Director of the National Gay Pilots Association. You can learn more at ngpa.org and on social media. For Update One in Washington, I'm Adam Cano.
You have been listening to Update One, the official podcast of the National Press Club, the world's leading professional organization for journalists, and a vigorous advocate of press freedom worldwide. If you have any questions or comments about Update One, send an email to updateonepodcast@gmail.com.